Thanks, Hila. Well, today is special because it's the sharing service. We have this about every 6 months or so. This is my first time actually participating in a sharing service. And what happens is we invite a couple of members, people from our church family, to share, to encourage us, share about what God's been doing in their lives recently. Maybe it could be a story of how they came to faith, or it could be just something last week where God has been placing on their hearts. So I've invited a few brothers and sisters to do that, and we'll hear from them shortly. But later, there will also be an opportunity, as I shared before, if you would like to share about something that you'd like to encourage each other. We just ask that you do so to encourage each other and just keep it under a minute or two. That would be fantastic. But a time for that later. The book of Hebrews talks about how Jesus is the one, the last one, the one who is the Word, who in the past there have been many voices who have spoken, but He is the final voice. And He is also the one that made the way possible for us. And as we look to the future, we want to encourage each other all the more. So I'm going to ask, first of all, Kulika, our brother, to come up. He's going to share first. Come up. Take the microphone. I first met Kulika, it was a year ago now, when I don't know if you're going to share about it. So I'll just say that we met at Macquarie University because I was the chaplain there, and Kulika got invited, brought by Jasmine, who is a long-term member of this church, and she thought, oh, Kulika will enjoy coming here because he's studying at Macquarie. And so, yeah, it's been great. And so I thought straight away, oh, Kulika, I'd love to hear his story. So here you go. He's our brother Kulika. I'll pray for you after, okay? So you share, and then I'll pray for you after. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, church. If you are new to the church, I can't see anybody new, but my name is Kulika. I'm from Vanuatu. Yes, testimony. What a big word. It's always good to share what God's been doing and what He is planning to do, as if we can anticipate by what we are going through now. So I'm very fortunate to get this chance to share pockets of what God's been doing and what's ahead for us as a family. So back home, whenever I get the opportunity to share, please stop me if I talk too much. I always make it very clear for whoever I'm sharing the testimony with that sometimes people would interpret you giving your narrative, your story, as a way of self-promoting yourself in a way, but this is not the case. It's about what God's love for us and what God is doing in our life. So I will start off by a little bit of background of who I am. So I am from Vanuatu, as I've said earlier. I was born into a family of six. I'm the fifth. I have three older brothers and one older sister and one younger sister, younger than me, after me. Growing up, I grew up in a kind of a village setting. So what I can remember to say is we grow our own food. We don't buy from the shop. We use fire as our light. That's what I experience. And we have shower in the sea. Yeah, so that should give a little picture of what village setting life in Vanuatu is. So I grew up in that setting. Making a little bit comparison to Lorna, she grew up in the urban setting where there is bright lights, shops and all these things. I only get to experience that when I have to attend E11 in an high school, which is when I was 15 or 16 years. And I have to travel from my island to where the island is, where they have schools. So it's part of the story, and as I continue to say, you'll see how God has taken me from a very little village setting to a place, even Australia, New Zealand, that's a big deal for the family back home. So anyway, going to church is a norm in the village. Yeah, it's Sunday. We have to respect. No one's going to the garden. We have to attend Sunday school. If we're not going to church, don't go diving. Don't go doing your gardening or stuff. Everyone just respect Sunday as a day of worship. I've experienced that. I'm fortunate to have my parents as a good role model, as a Christian figure in my life. But schooling, going to school, and the desire of becoming somebody who I want to be has taken me thus far, bringing me out from the village life to where I am now. But more to that, I see God orchestrated that in my life, in my journey thus far. So I was fortunate to get a scholarship to do my undergrad studies in PG, and that's a very big deal. And that's part and parcel of what I think God has for me, as I continue to grow in the knowledge of God. Dreams and bright future are near to grasp when I come to finish my study in VG. Also the peak of the teenage life, and with studies catches me much in VG when I was doing my undergrad. But even so, interesting is that I come to accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior in VG. But make it more romantic, I met my wife in VG. Yeah, so that's part and parcel of my story. But after achieving all this, does that mean life is easy to cope with, comfortable, and without challenges? Absolutely not. So there are many challenges in life that I face. But the good news is the faith, brothers and sisters, in Christ and the finished work on the cross, plus his promises in the Bible, and are pretty much alive in me, and they are the success and foundation of who I am today, as a father, as an husband. After PT, I graduated, and I became the first person who achieved a bachelor in my community, in my little village. And then I was teaching in an high school since 2011, around more than 10 years. But also I started my family, so I have two kids by then. So the story of me as an individual has now turned into a family. So from there on, I'll say what God has been doing good as a family. Fast forward to 2024, in my teaching career, I decided to upgrade my teaching skills. I did an application for a scholarship, and I was fortunate to get a scholarship, prestigious scholarship from the Australian government, who's helping the Vanuatu people to upskills in their specific walks and specific skills. So although I see it as an opportunity for further education, it is more of an open door for us as a family, that what God has in store for us. After all, I see Jeremiah 29:11, not only gives hope for the Israelites at that context. But as I interpret it, it gives me an hope for a good future. And what that future will look like, we don't know. A random person came up to me at a work conference last year and gave me a passage in the Bible, which is Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the Lord, glory of the Lord is upon you. And that's kind of like something that resonates very deeply, profound in my life. And I always ask God, what is it? What is it that you are doing? Personally, and as a family, that scripture has a meaning when we interpret it in terms of being equipped to shine out God's light and love to others. My study is coming to near completion. I have only 2 weeks before I submit my last assignment, and that's all. In 18 months, it's gone. Achieving a postgraduate is another big deal for the family and for the village. But I'm more excited about the next chapter of our life. I'm sorry I stopped. I warned you before. Many a times when I said I talk, sometimes I get emotional. We are looking forward to another chapter. We're going back home. I'm very optimistic in this because we feel that God is preparing us in many ways to something big. And part of it is that my wife Lorna has been doing a lot of experience with the WEC, and she will become a full-time WEC member, and that's something that we are praying about and see what is it that when we go back home, how will that be shown in our life as a family towards doing what God's will in our life says. We are praying and anticipating how that chapter will unfold in our life when we return home. And it will take many more hours to allow me to say every detail God's unfailing love and grace, protection, provision, and sustenance in our family as I share with you. Testimony is about presenting God's goodness. And it will take many, many more hours. But two instances that I want to share before I finish. In 2018, we have taken a step out. So me and my wife, with only 2 kids at the time, to study in New Zealand in a theological, more like an intercultural mission college in New Zealand. I have to get out from teaching, and Lorna was not working at the time, so it's okay. We have filled up all the visa requirements for New Zealand, and everything's set in place. What we are lacking now is the money to pay our ticket to New Zealand. So what happened is that we go to the agent and tell her, please book this date. We want to travel to New Zealand, but we haven't got the money. It's quite a large sum of money in the Vanuatu context. So we keep that in prayer and faith. But what What stood out is that we haven't paid the ticket until people are checking in at the airport. So once we pay the ticket, we reach the airport and we are the last person to check in before we fly out to flew out to New Zealand. And that's a big intervention God has done. I can say, I can testify with you with that. And I can, to add on, to finish on this short testimony, just imagine yourself a family of six, our family, with kids attending school and wife engaging in an unpaid volunteer mission and receiving a scholarship funding of the amount just enough for renting here in Sydney. But we still survive for 11 months. And if you ask me how, and our answer is, God is in the story. Our story. And in this story, we realize that God brings people in our journey, like our church community here, to help us in many ways, but importantly, to equip us for greater tasks ahead of us. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have called to do his purpose. When I was preparing this short testimony, I look up at my calendar. So the May ends today. The calendar I have is every month after Bible verses to encourage you. And the Bible verse I have in the calendar is Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
I've gotten to know Kulika over the last 18 months or so, and he's a lovely, gentle, kind husband, father, friend. And if you know him and you know his family, you're blessed indeed. What a beautiful family. And we've really been blessed to have you and Kulika, and Lorna and the kids as well. You guys have filled us with joy, and it's wonderful to hear how God has been at work before we got to know you. He's at work in your heart and your lives, bringing you across the seas from that little village to the big city here in Australia. And he's provided. What a wonderful testimony. God will provide time and time again, because our Lord is good and he loves his people. Let me pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for Kulika and Lorna and each of his children. We thank you so much for your work in their life over many years. And as Kulika has shared, you have brought him from a village to his high school. And in the high school in Fiji, he came to know you as Lord and Savior. And his life has never been the same since. He's met his wife, and he's now got this lovely, beautiful family. You've even brought him, after many years of teaching, to Australia to be equipped to go back. And now, as he and Lorna look ahead, he's got to finish his last assignment last month, and then he and the kids head back. We don't know what you've got in store, where you'll have them serve, but we know that it will be where you want them to be. And you've already prepared the people that they'll meet and the great things, the good works that you've planned in advance. And so we pray, Father, continue to go before him. Continue to encourage and equip and support this beautiful family. And may they go with our blessing to be that light, to shine for Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Kulika. We're going to hear now from Jane. So Jane, come up, Jane. Jane's been part of our church family for a few years now, but 1 year now. Well, that's more than me. And Jane, during that time, has now come and she serves us in a paid role as a church administrator. And you might not always see Jane, but she's here, she's present, and she comes to church every week, serving in the office and working, and she does a lot of the things behind the scenes that smooth the way and so help support Dylan and myself in pastoral staff, as well as everyone here as well. So we're going to hear now from Jane. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jane.
Good morning, everyone. So I'd like to start my sharing with Jesus' words from Matthew 25, 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." It's been a while since I've been worshipping physically at church. The fact is that I've been worshipping online. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the church for making online worship available each Sunday on Zoom. For this is very much an answer to my prayer. Each Sunday I worship online with my mother. Quite a number of years ago, there were several incidents which negatively impacted my mother's faith, to the extent that she doubted God's grace and acceptance of her, even though she was a Christian. Compounding this was my mother's declining health, which made attending church physically very difficult. It is not easy to see someone struggling in their faith. At first, I tried to reason with my mother, or to try to make her see that her situation can be looked at from different angles. But slowly God opened my eyes to see that I was invalidating my mother's experience from what I was saying, rather than accepting her experiences, feelings, and perspectives. I felt helpless, but eventually turned my helplessness into prayer to God. I know that there are people at church who have prayed for my mother also. God has been gracious in answering prayers. My mother's health has improved over the last 6 months and is more eager to attend Sunday service. Even though going to church physically is still too much of an ask for her, being able to attend the worship online as opposed to watching a recording of the service means that she can worship God in community. There was a time when I tried to set up the computer for her to worship online and I came to church myself. But I felt God telling me that my presence with my mother would help her feel more like she is worshipping as part of God's family. So I decided to worship together with my mother online. So how are Jesus' words at the start of my sharing relevant to all this? After COVID, many churches stopped making online worship available. However, for me, providing online worship is an act of service. An act of kindness, for those who are, for whatever reasons, unable to attend church physically. It meets a spiritual need for these people, and it enables them to worship their God. It also recognises these people are also God's children, part of God's family, and expresses acceptance of them by the church as such. I want to thank Trevor and the projection team for their work each Sunday in making online worship possible. I will finish my sharing with Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. And you might not know this, but isn't it wonderful that we can have brothers and sisters who have the skills to put things that we're doing here online and able to share and interact? And we know there are people online at the moment who are listening to these words and nodding in agreement. Jane, thank you for sharing. Thank you for your openness in sharing that. And it's not always easy and hard. We really value you and the work that you do in the office, but also just you being part of our church family, whether you're here in person or you're online and we wave to you through the camera. Yes. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. Let me pray for you and your family. Father, we thank you for Jane. We thank you for her parents and for her mum and the faith that she has in you. We just pray, Father, that as they join in each week online, as they listen to the songs being sung, as they watch and listen to the preacher prepare your words and share what you're saying to this church family, we pray that it might encourage them, it might bless them. And we thank you for all those who join us online who aren't able to be with us in person. We pray for each of the different reasons they have as well, whether it's to do with infirmity, whether it's to do with ill health, or just at a time and stage that they need that distance or time. And we just ask that you might encourage them in that. We thank you for Trevor and those who help him, and we, for Joseph and the rest of the team there that work hard each week to record, who put things online, who do all the sides that we take for granted sometimes. But just what a blessing it is, how we can use our gifts for one another to serve and bless each other. And this is love, doing these things that are behind the scenes. It is love to turn up, even if, it is challenging. It is love to watch online as well. We thank you for Jane being able to share this, and we thank you. May you continue to bless her and her family each week. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jane. I'll ask Martin. Don't get seated comfortably. Come on up. Now, you guys might not know Martin as much. He's been around since the end of last year when you came with your mum around Christmas time, I think. Yep. You come here. And since then, Martin has been around, and he'll share a little bit more of his story with that. But, it's good to have you, Martin, and thanks for being able to share what God's encouraged you recently.
Hello? Okay. I'm a bit nervous now. You have to bear with me. It's my first time speaking up in front of everyone. First, I just want to say thank you for the wonderful service so far. Thank you to the musicians. You've done an amazing job, as always. And thank you for your sharing, Kolika and Jane. It's wonderful to hear. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Martin. I'm 21 years old. I grew up here in Australia, but I moved to Hong Kong at the age of 10, finished high school there and moved back here for uni. So been living here 3 and a bit years now, moving around a little bit here and there. After uni, I moved to Burwood, and that's where I found this wonderful church. So, how has God been present in my life? Let me share a recent story of how I feel like God's been present in my life. So, last year was my final year of university. And being my last year, there was a lot of pressure to figure out what you wanted to do after studying. And most of that related to when people were going to get a job. Like, which job would you get, and how would you be able to set up success for your future career? And let me tell you, that was a lot of pressure. That was a lot of pressure last year. And as I started to talk to people around me, in my classes and just on campus, I started listening to people who told me All the internships they got, all the return offers they got, and all the full-time positions lined up for them after uni. It was basically like prime time for the uni students in my position. But when it came to me, I basically had none of that. I kind of had little to no experience professionally in Australia, and zero experience in the field that I actually wanted to get into. So safe to say, end of last year, I was kind of panicking. Now, what did make it worse again, and, you know, it's not on them, but it was the people I surrounded myself with, because I surrounded myself with a lot of, you know, very disciplined overachievers who seem to have no struggle finding these internships and jobs. They made it look effortless, when me, on the other hand, was struggling to get my first internship. But it wasn't for lack of trying on my end. For the past, I'd say, year and a half up to that point, I'd been applying as much as I can to any and every internship or graduate program that I could find, just to try and get my foot into the door. But I heard back nothing but rejections. And I know everyone says these rejections are part of the process, but after so many, I couldn't help but take it just a little bit personally. You know, I started asking myself, like, why wouldn't they hire me? Is it something to do with me as a person? Or am I just not capable of achieving the level that I thought I could? So, at the end of last year, I began to spiral further, beating down on myself a little bit. And I kind of felt like a burden, especially to my loving and supportive parents who supported me all the way through uni, and obviously my childhood. But, you know, I kept on soldiering on and kept on applying. So fast forward a couple months after I've already finished my studies, deep into job searching still, I found this wonderful church and started attending here. And after one of the services, I get a text from this random person at the time named Phil, asking to meet up just for a coffee. And what seemed like a simple request turned out to be the very thing I needed during those trying times. We actually ended up having weekly meetings to study God's Word, and it helped place my focus on something other than just job searching. It gave me opportunities to turn my attention solely to the Lord, opportunities that I had missed previously because I was so centered and so focused on getting a job and showing and proving myself outwardly that, you know, I was worth something. But through these weekly meetings, I realized I didn't really need to, because my identity didn't lie in the exceptions or rejections or any career achievements, but it lied in being a brother of Christ. So eventually, after all this, I'm grateful to say that God eventually opened the door for me to work a job I thank Him every day for. Even when I wake up in the morning and all I want to do is go back to bed, I still thank Him for it. But that's not what stands out for me during those times. What stands out for me was what God did for me while I was in waiting. If I had gotten a job earlier, I wouldn't have been able to meet weekly with Phil. And I probably, knowing myself, probably would have been a little bit overconfident in my abilities, knowing that I got the job based on my own merit. So it really helped humble me during those times of waiting. I'd like to share two Bible verses that I think really relate to this situation. The first is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So, if anyone here is going through a season of waiting, I just want to encourage you not to lose heart. God sees you and knows you deeply. His timing, his planning, his foresight exceeds our own. And we don't need to understand it now. In my experience, faith alone suffices. So thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Yeah, it's such timely words. I think that indeed, it's often in the waiting moments that the Lord does his work the most deep in our hearts, when we're earnestly got nothing else to rely on, not our own strength. And yeah, it's been wonderful getting to know you over the last few months. And thank you for sharing. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your honesty. Just admitting the insecurities around that, but also just looking to God and what he has done. It's just so encouraging. Let me pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you for Martin. Thank you so much that your work in him began so long ago through his family, and how you've brought him to know you and love you in his church in Hong Kong, how he's trusted in with you and been walking with you, and how you teach him lessons like this one, that it's not through our own strength or our own wisdom, but it's what you will graciously provide it, your timing and your ways and in your strength. We thank you for the job that you've provided him. Pray that he might continue to be grateful for it, but also that you might bless him and his family through it. We pray that it might continue to grow and develop him and strengthen him. We thank you that he's part of our church family and wanting to become a member as well. We just pray, Father, for him as he commits to coming each week and encouraging us through his presence and being here. May we also be a blessing as well to him. And we thank you for his message which he's shared today, and pray for anyone who's here today or listening about waiting, maybe in a season of waiting, a season of uncertainty, of anxiety perhaps, of not knocking on doors and not having them open. We pray, Father, that as we've heard, that we might just be patient, look to you, Lord, look to your timing, look to you when you'll open the doors, when you'll smooth the path. And in that moment of waiting, that is when you most want to work in our own hearts. So let us be receptive and open in these seasons. And may we forever give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you again, Martin. Okay, well, now we have an open microphone for anyone who'd like to come up. There's no pressure on you at all. A minute or two, it might be nerve-wracking getting up at first, but then you'll probably want to talk and talk and talk, but that's okay. so if anyone would like to come up, please do. Please do. Die. Everyone, this is Di. You might want to introduce yourself to everyone.
Hello, everyone. I was sitting down there and I was wondering if I could reach the microphone.
It kind of bends.
Thank you. We sang a really beautiful song earlier, and it talks about the darkness and trusting God. And so I thought I would share a Bible verse with you, which I read during this week, and it's from one of the Psalms, and it's actually from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my part. I love this verse. It's such a special verse for me. And I think throughout my life, there have been many, many dark times that I've been through. And I think for me, it's a lifelong lesson to learn to be able to trust God and follow Him in the darkness. And I remember this beautiful song that I love, and the name of the song is called "I Will Trust You in the Darkness." Mm. I love that song, and in my life there has been so much pain and grief, but definitely by God's amazing grace, there has been definitely so much light and joy and hope. And I wasn't planning to actually be sharing this morning, so I'm kind of losing my thought a little bit. But our Lord Jesus, you know, He loves us so much. Mm. And He is the suffering shepherd. He is our Lord and Savior, brother, friend, and He is our rock, mm-hmm. our salvation, and He is the light of my life. Mm. Thank you.
Thanks, Di. It's such a beautiful verse, isn't it? And one of the things I love about that verse is that you think about a light or a lamp or a torch. Like, God doesn't promise to light up the whole thing so we can see everything all at once. Just that lamp, that torch, that just for that next step that we need to trust Him in the darkness. Can I pray? Yeah, Father, we do thank You that Your word is a lamp for our lives, a light for our souls, and it gives us what we need. Jesus is the Christ light, the one who shines forth and gives us light and love and hope. And we echo Di's praise that Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is the one, and Jesus' words are enough. Thank You for shining bright through Di and in her life to be able to give her light when everything else seems so dark and hard. Thank You that You've taken her through and continues to guide her by Your word, by Your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Di. Would anyone else like to? Yes, Jeanette, please come up.
Quite amazing. Last weekend I was on a Kairos prison weekend. Mm. Some of you know that I'm on team sometimes, and I've asked to be on team this year. And every year, every time we have a weekend away for women who've got someone in jail, the leader has to pick a theme. And we have banners made, and the theme this year was "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, wow. and a light unto my path."
Wow.
And that is expressed throughout the whole weekend. Mm. I had to give a talk on relationships. And during my talk, I'd taken a quote out of Kell's book, "Living With You, Living With Me." And at the end of the weekend, one of the women who comes from Brisbane came to me and she said, I just want to get hold of that book, which I've got to send to her. But the thing is that the beautiful thing about her was that there was a woman in Tasmania whose husband was in jail, and these women come in great shock. Some of these women, most of the women this time were Christians,
mm.
and their husbands or their son or their daughter is in jail. But this woman's husband was in jail. She's not a Christian. She's part of a cult.
Mm.
She found Kairos on the website, rang, and we invited her. She was prepared to travel up for the weekend. Meanwhile, she met a lady in Queensland whose husband was in jail, and he'd been extradited down here to Sydney.
Mm.
So they met online, and this lady up in Queensland is a lovely Christian, and they've gelled together, and she's going to keep sharing with that lady.
Mm.
But the beautiful thing this morning is I got a message from the leader with a beautiful letter from the woman in Tassie, and just expressing that the weekend had absolutely changed her, given her hope, because all the women who come, we had 11, it's the first time they feel safe. First time they feel they can share because somebody understands. I would love to share some of the stories. I'm not allowed to. It's confidentiality. But just the fact that I just thought when our sister shared how that was the theme for our weekend, and most of those women have expressed that God's word was just a light to their path and gave them hope for the future.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeanette. Praise God. Anyone else like to share?
Good morning. I just want to thank everyone who prayed for my sister, my youngest sister, who was dealing with cancer. Praise God. The level was 34, and the latest was 6. So
wow,
getting better. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Praise God. Wow. Thank you, everyone, for praying. Wonderful answer to prayer. Wonderful answer to prayer. Well, I might ask... Oh, Jenia, yeah? You going to come up? Looks like you were assisted there.
Yeah, no way back. Hello, church. Just to remind, to give thanks to the Lord for some of you were praying for the week in the camp for disabled people. Mm. I was participating as a volunteer, took the week off from work, and it was a real blessing. So in your prayers, just remember people who are disabled, they're less kind of privileged, they do not have this opportunity to go to church every week. So twice a year, the Hands and Feet Ministry, and there are other ministries who invite these people. So they have a camp, they have songs, they have a fellowship with others. So they got all of them have disabilities, like they're all adults from 30 to 70. So they have a physical problem, psychological problem, but they do not have spiritual problem. Most of them, like, they're open for the gospel. So there are a few of them who are believe, trust the Lord. So we had a Bible study. There was Christian movies. There was a lot of talks. And it's just wonderful. These people, like, twice a year, they live in the... most of them, the parents cannot take care because it's very difficult. They got really bad issue. I was... So we've got helpers, volunteers, myself, like 4 people for each in the, special rooms. So we had opportunity to share. So one of my campers was totally disabled people with the problem and issue, but he loves the Lord. Mm. So we're reading together the scripture, we pray together, and it's wonderful to see. So if they hug you, or if they kiss you, they really mean that, because they're too slow, most of them too slow to be hypocritical, pretend, because it's too difficult for them to pretend. So there's a genuine love, and it's so beautiful just to see these people, because most of the time, they're twice a year, they have this opportunity. Most of them, it's non-Christian place where they are put, because family cannot take care of them. It's too difficult, mobility issues, psychological issue, and all that. And so they have this opportunity. So I pray this organization who are trying to parallel to Hands and Feet, get them into the church connection, like more than twice a year. So yeah, pray for disabled people. God bless you.
Thanks, Jenia. Let's do just that. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the ministry, Hands and Feet, and brothers and sisters like Jenia who take time to go and participate, to encourage and be there for those who, often through no fault of their own, whether born or in an accident or an illness that causes them to lose function of part of their body or brain, and it just results in an inability to... Society might not see them as complete as a human, but you know that they are. You love them so much, so dearly, that they are special and honored, and they often express, as Jenia said, a love that is genuine and heartfelt, that in... them, it just comes bursting forth, especially those who find their joy in Jesus. We just pray, Father, for ministries such as these that seek to show the love of Christ, what does love look like? It looks like this, being patient and sitting with brothers and sisters who have lost mobility or lost some of their brain function. We pray, Father, that you might encourage them, strengthen them. We pray that they might trust in you all the more. We also pray too for the Kairos ministry that Jeanette was a part of and the wonderful work they do. We're seeing many brothers and sisters come to belong to your family through the work of Kairos and other prison ministries. Father, yeah, there's a lot of reasons that people end up in jail and they're at the lowest of the low, but also their families and loved ones are the ones who suffer often the most of all. And so we pray for this time last weekend where Jeanette was able to go and encourage, and pray for this lady who came all the way up from Tasmania. We pray, Father, even though she doesn't yet know you, we pray that through the love that was shown on that weekend, through the love through her friend now up in Brisbane, and the encouragement might be that you might be planting seeds and watering them and bringing new life. So we ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Tunde to come up and read for us a couple of Proverbs.
Aren't we grateful to God for those wonderful testimonies? And thanks to everyone who came out to share. I was encouraged, or I'm still encouraged. Thank you, Abba. Straight into why I'm here this morning. The book of Proverbs. Yeah. The book of Proverbs, chapter 12. We'll read the first 10 verses. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is a husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like a decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked lie in wait. But the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Beg your pardon. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A person is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Amen.
Day. Now, I'm not going to share very much at all. I did want to highlight one of these proverbs, and just by way of encouragement. But first, have you seen this photo before? It's a magnificent photo. It's of a lighthouse off France, and you can actually see, you can make out, it's pixelated, but there's the lighthouse keeper there. And you see him as this tremendous wave just cascades over. And you might have seen this poster a lot. It's used on motivational posters for strength and endurance, things that last, things that stand. And I think of this picture when I think of one of these proverbs. The wicked are overthrown and no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to be that house. Jesus described the house that was built on his words. that's built on the rock. But what Jesus and this proverb is saying is that the family that honors their creator will endure. Whether it's an individual in their family or you, us, as a church family. We've just heard stories today, whether of Kulika and his family trusting in God's goodness, bringing him here, and then for the next chapter of what lies ahead, for Jane and her family, as they are grateful to what's been provided by this church family so that they can worship in their home. And then for Martin and for God providing through this family, but in other ways, just encouragement because God's at work. And so as we also heard the testimonies and stories from Di and from Jeanette and from Jenny and others, and Esther as well, we want to thank you, each and every one of you, that it's our church family together. As we look to the Lord, as we use our gifts to encourage one another, we will endure. We will stand firm and be like that rock, like that lighthouse. The storms of life may cascade and overwhelm, but we will endure time and time again. So let that be an encouragement to you. Let me pray and then we'll sing again. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are the rock. Your son Jesus is our cornerstone and his words are what we stand firm on. Our church family is a wonderful collection of people from around the world who've called Australia home, those of us who are new and others who've been here many, many years, where of it might just be us or it might be our whole family that come and worship together. We might be here in person or we might be joining online. Whatever it is, Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you that you've brought us together. Thank you that you've made us a family, a church family. And we pray that you might help us to endure as we are filled with those who want to honor you, as we are filled with those who are righteous. Righteous not from our own standing, but because of Christ and what he has done for us. May we seek to encourage and share and love each other, to bear one another's burdens, to forgive as we've been forgiven. And we pray that by doing so, that we might speed on that day when your son Jesus will return and that we will be like him, that we will join together in worship and praise and honor and will be what we're truly created to be. And then the whole world will be filled with the glory and the knowledge of the Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.